भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भागवत्युत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी।
This
morning we're reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, chanting the song sung by Lord Shiva, text number 28.
यह
परम रंहस
साक्षात् त्रिगुणात्
जीवसंगीतात् भगवन्तम् वासुदेवम् प्रपन्नः
स
प्रिय
मे।
यः परं रंहस साक्षात् त्रिगुणात् जीवसंगीतात् भगवन्तं वासुदेवं प्रपन्नस्य प्रियो हि मे। यः परं रंहस साक्षात् त्रिगुणात् जीवसंगीतात् भगवन्तं वासुदेवं प्रपन्नस्य प्रियो हि मे। यः परम ट्रान्सेंडेंटल रंहसः of the controller,
Sakshat,
directly.
Trigunat,
from the three modes of material nature,
Jiva Sangitat,
living entities called by the name Jivas,
Bhagavantam,
unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudevam,
unto Krishna,
Prapannaha,
surrendered,
Saha,
he,
Priyaha,
very dear,
he,
undoubtedly,
of me, Lord Shiva continued. Any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. Responsibly, Lord Shiva continued. Any person who is surrendered. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity,
is actually very dear to me.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It's a long purport. First, stay awake. Now Lord Shiva explains the reason he has personally come before the princes. It is because all the princes are devotees of Lord Krishna. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 7, verse 19, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti samahatma sudulabha. After many, many births and deaths, he who is actually in knowledge surrenders unto me, knowing me to be the cause of all causes and all that is. Such a great soul is very rare. Lord Shiva is rarely seen by common men, and similarly, a person who is fully surrendered unto Vasudeva Krishna is also very rarely seen. Because a person who is fully surrendered unto the Supreme Lord is very rare. Samahatma Sudur Labaha. Consequently, Lord Shiva came especially to see the Prachetas because they were fully surrendered unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vasudeva. Vasudeva is also mentioned in the beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam in the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Since Vasudeva is the ultimate truth, Lord Shiva openly proclaims that one who is the devotee of Lord Vasudeva, who is surrendered to Lord Krishna, is actually very dear to him. Lord Vasudeva, or Krishna, is worshipable not only by ordinary living entities, but by the demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and others. Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutastuvanti Divyaistavai. Bhagavatam, 12th canto, 13th chapter, 1st verse. Krishna is worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, Varuna, Indra, Chandra, and all other demigods. That is also the situation with a devotee. Indeed, one who takes to Krishna consciousness immediately becomes very dear to anyone who is simply finding out and beginning to understand what Krishna consciousness actually is. Similarly, all the demigods are also trying to find out who is actually surrendered to Lord Vasudeva. Because the Pracheta princes were surrendered to Vasudeva, Lord Shiva willingly came forth to see them. Lord Vasudeva, or Krishna, is described in the Bhagavad Gita as Purushottama. Actually, he is the enjoyer, or Purusha, and he is the supreme, or Uttama, as well. He is the enjoyer of everything, the Prakriti and the Purusha. Being influenced by the modes of material nature, the living entity tries to dominate material nature, but actually, he is not the Purusha, or enjoyer, but he is Prakriti, as described in the Bhagavad Gita. Aparayam itas tvanyam prakritim vidime param. Thus, the jiva, or living entity, is actually Prakriti, or the marginal energy of the Supreme Lord. Being associated with material energy, he tries to lord it over the material nature. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mamaivamsa jivaloke jivabhuta sanatana manasastan indriyani prakritistani karshati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts, but due to conditioned life, they are struggling very hard with the six senses, which includes the mind. By endeavoring to dominate material nature, the living entity simply struggles hard for existence. Indeed, he struggles so hard to enjoy himself that he cannot even enjoy the material resources. Just see. He tries so hard to enjoy that he can't enjoy. Thus, he is sometimes called Prakriti, or Jiva, for he is situated in the marginal potency. When the living entity is covered with the three modes of material nature, he is called Jiva Sangita. There are two kinds of living entities. One is called Kshara, and the other is called Akshara. Kshara refers to those who have fallen down and have become conditioned. And Akshara refers to those who are not conditioned. The vast majority of living entities live in the spiritual world and are called Akshara. They are in the position of Brahman, pure spiritual existence. They are different from those who have been conditioned by the three modes of material nature. Being above both the Kshara and Akshara, Lord Krishna, or Vasudeva, is described in the Bhagavad Gita 15:18 as Purushottama. The impersonalist may say that Vasudeva is the impersonal Brahman, but actually the impersonal Brahman is subordinate to Krishna, as also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 14:27, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. That Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman is also confirmed in the Brahma Sangita 5:40. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti. The impersonal Brahman is nothing but the effulgence or bodily rays of Krishna. And in those bodily rays, there are innumerable universes floating. Thus, in all respects, Vasudev Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Lord Shiva is very satisfied with those who are completely surrendered to him. Complete surrender is desired by Krishna, as he indicates in the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 1866. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam vraja. The word sakshat, meaning directly, is very significant. There are many so-called devotees, but actually they are only karmis and jnanis, for they are not directly devotees of Lord Krishna. The karmis sometimes offer the results of their activities to Lord Vasudev, and this offering is called karmarpanam. These are considered to be fruitive activities, for the karmis consider Lord Vishnu to be one of the demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma. Because they consider Lord Vishnu to be on the same level with the demigods, they contend that surrendering to the demigods is as good as surrendering unto Vasudeva. This contention is denied herein, because if it were true, Lord Shiva would have said that surrender unto him, Lord Vasudev, Vishnu, or Brahma is the same. However, Lord Shiva does not say this, because he himself surrenders unto Vasudev, and whoever else surrenders unto Vasudev is very, very dear to him. This is expressed herein openly. The conclusion is that a devotee of Lord Shiva is not dear to Lord Shiva, but a devotee of Lord Krishna is very dear to Lord Shiva. Ya param ranghasa sakshat trigunaj jiva sangitat bhagavantam vasudevam prapannasa priyohime. Lord Shiva continued, any person who is surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the controller of everything, material nature as well as the living entity, is actually very dear to me. So here, Lord Shiva is addressing the Prachetas. And because the Prachetas are already Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva himself is attracted to their devotion. In fact, even Krishna is attracted by devotional service, by bhakti, and that is the principle by which the devotee attains liberation. The material energy of Krishna, yoga maya or maya, you may say, maha maya, this maya is very, very difficult to surmount. Very difficult to overcome. The infection of material attachment is very deeply rooted in the heart. And even though we repeatedly study that I am not this body, I am spirit, I am eternal, even though we express the same thing again and again, but still, somehow or other, when the objects of sense gratification pass before our view, we become attracted. Even though we have knowledge, but still, that knowledge must be developed into realization. As long as it remains only theoretical knowledge, we are still subject to the illusion of Maya. We are still bound up by the external energy. So it is very, very difficult. But Krishna says that one who is surrendered to me, one who is fully engaged in my devotional service, mayam etam tarantite, he can very easily cross over this material ocean. He can get free from the clutches of Maya. And again, Krishna says that a person who is serving my devotee, a person who is a devotee of my devotee, he is actually my devotee. This is explained in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in a conversation between Lord Krishna and Maharaj Prabuddha, I think. Anyway, therein he describes that one who states that he is my devotee, he is not my devotee. So it's interesting here, Lord Shiva says that one who is surrendered directly, sakshat, to the personality of Godhead, he is very, very dear to me. But this direct does not mean directly to Krishna and not through Krishna's devotee. What this direct means is without going through any other process. Anya vilasita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam anukulyena krishnanushilanam bhakti rutama. Bhakti means when one does not engage in speculation, when one does not expect fruitive results from his devotion to the Lord, that is pure bhakti. That is direct bhakti, free from this karma mishra bhakti. We see in some temples in India, especially in Tirupati, but there are many other temples that emulate Tirupati or copy their system. The devotees go there and they're literally encouraged to approach Krishna with material desires. They're encouraged. If you have any work to be done, just give some money to Balaji and offer your prayers and then ask whatever you want. If you want to get a raise in pay, if you want your pregnant wife to have a male child, if you want to even win a bet on the horse races, just go and ask Balaji and he will give you the result for sure. So people do this and they actually are, it's almost offensive. There's a danger that it will become offensive, that they will consider Lord Vishnu to be just another order supplier. Just like in the restaurant, there are many suppliers. So the manager of the restaurant, he calls up the supplier and asks him, please give me 10 kilos of jeera powder and give me 50 kilos of dal. And he just calls upon him to give him anything and everything. So this is a very material way of approaching Krishna, to see him as order supplier for your material desires. And the tendency will always be to minimize the importance of Krishna, to minimize the supreme position of Krishna by relegating him to just another order supplier. And then the problem is that if you pray to Krishna, this also happens. People go to Balaji and they pray, please give me a son. And their wife gets a daughter. And then they think, oh, Balaji's not a very effective order supplier. And they give up devotion to Balaji. So there's always that chance that you won't get what you're asking for, and then your devotion will diminish. So this is a very risky, a very cheap way of worshiping God, to carry your material desires to Him. God is supplying everyone in this world. Krishna is satisfying the material desires even of the non-devotees. So why should you become his devotee just to ask for some material benefit? Rather, Lord Chaitanya has explained the mood of a devotee. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mamat janmani janmanishvare, bhavatat bhaktir ahoituki. A devotee does not want anything material in return for his devotional service. Rather, he simply takes joy in serving Krishna. Just as a wife takes joy in serving her husband. There may be many other husbands, some more attractive than her husband, some more wealthy than her husband, some more educated, etc. But a chaste wife always worships her own husband exclusively, and she gets great joy from it. She feels that I'm very happy serving my husband. So in the same way, a devotee of the Lord, he's very happy in serving Krishna, fully satisfied. He doesn't see any need for material opulence. If at all he has any desire for material opulence, it is simply for the purpose of augmenting, of increasing his own worship. Oh, the Shastras say that one should worship the Lord with ghee and yogurt and milk and panchamrit and panchagavya, but I don't have much money. I wish the Lord would give me more money so that I can buy all these nice substances to worship him. Or, I wish to establish the deity of the Lord in a golden throne so that many people will come and bow down to him and glorify him. As long as I am sitting here under this tree, people are not attracted. In that way, the devotee may aspire after opulences. But the devotee, because of being sufficiently experienced, the devotee, because of having understood from the experience of others, he sees that it is the contact of the senses with the sense objects which is the very source of my suffering in this world. And therefore he rejects any kind of benediction, even up to the standard of liberation. Although there are five kinds of liberation which are offered to Vaishnavas, but the devotee personally has no desire for any of those types of liberation. He emphatically rejects the Shanta Ras. He emphatically rejects Sayujya, or merging. He rejects that kind of liberation. He may accept, because the Lord insists, he may accept Salokya, Samipya, Sarshti, the other four kinds of liberation. But he doesn't aspire after them. He doesn't trade devotional service for some type of liberation, attaining the planet of the Lord, Salokya, attaining the same bodily features of the Lord, attaining the intimate association of the Lord. He doesn't do business in that way. But rather, he simply engages in unalloyed bhakti and remains satisfied. So this consciousness is very, very, very rare. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna himself tells Arjuna that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatiti siddhaye. Even a person taking up spiritual life sincerely is rare, because unfortunately when one comes to this material world, it means that he has already somehow or other rejected the material world. He's taken a divorce, just like if someone were to get a divorce from, you know, some very beautiful, educated person in this world, supposing someone was married to Miss Universe, a very beautiful and intelligent woman. Sometimes we read about, you know, some beautiful movie actress and some person who got a divorce from them, and we think, oh, the guy must be crazy. Why did he get a divorce from the most beautiful woman? So similarly, someone who leaves the material world, leaves the spiritual world, he must be crazy. It must be due to some derangement in his brain. Some imperfection was there. Otherwise, how could he have left the Sat-Chit Ananda spiritual world? How is that possible? So anyone who comes to this material world, he's fully committed over here. And having wandered lifetime after lifetime for millions of lifetimes, going from one body to another, he has developed strong habits of material attachment, which are hard to break. Therefore, to find someone who has developed the consciousness of a devotee like Yamunacharya. Just imagine, Yamunacharya. What did he say? An amazing statement, which just, it is fantastic. Yadavadi mama cheta krishna padaravinde. Every time I think of sex life, I become disgusted. I turn my head, my lips curl, and I just spit in disgust. Someone who has developed that realization, completely free from any tinge of sex desire, such a person is very rare. So, Krishna says, someone who takes up devotional service is very rare, and someone who has become fully realized, who is not simply maintaining himself barely, by theoretical knowledge. We as sadhakas are really on an edge. If we're not careful, we can slide right out of devotional service and back again into the material world. How many times, right in our own community, have we seen devotees who appear to be even intelligent devotees, but a pretty woman comes along and just by jingling her ankle bells, winking her eyes, and he falls right down. Even after practicing devotional service for 5, 10, even 15 years. But, so if we're not careful, it's very easy to lose that thread of devotional service, to lose that, you know, continuity, to lose that Krishna consciousness. To lose our Krishna consciousness is easy because we haven't yet realized it. We're on the, sometimes we remain on the mental platform, manoratena asati davato bahi, in the Bhagavad Gita, or rather in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Lord Krishna describes that those who are devotees of the Lord, they are fixed in the good qualities of the demigods. They can't be shaken. But those who are non-devotees, they may appear to have good qualities, but their situation is very tenuous. They're subject to their senses, and they're on the chariot of the mind, manoratenasati davato bahi. So therefore, their so-called good qualities are not actually good qualities. They can act in any way. Yatato hi api konteya purushasva vipaschita indriyani pramatini haranti prasabham manaha. Haranti, they forcibly are dragged down by the objects of the senses. Even though they may be men of discrimination, men engaged in some type of good work, some type of pious activity, but because the senses are so powerful, they can act improperly. So it's very rare to get the association of a devotee who is stitadhir muni, who has attained vyavasayatmika buddhi, fixed intelligence. He can't think of anything else but Krishna and Krishna's service. And when something does enter his mind which is not connected with Krishna, he's simply disgusted by it and he spits. Such a rare devotee, we should seek out, we should try to associate with him, we should try to imbibe his qualities, learn his enthusiasm, learn his determination, pray to him for blessings. In this way, we also can rise above the condition of this forced bhakti, vaidhi bhakti. We want to come to the Raganuga platform, and we can do that by associating with devotees who have attained spontaneity, devotees who have become convinced. Srila Prabhupada would often call his senior men into his office, his GBC men, and he would simply look at them and demand, "Are you convinced yet? Have you become fixed yet? What is your condition?" So we need to, if we have doubts, doubts are there. Krishna is Madhusudan because doubts are there. The name Madhusudan means the killer of the Madhu demon, or the killer of the demon of doubt. So Krishna is there to kill the demon of doubt. We will have doubts, but we must try to associate properly, ask questions, get our questions thoroughly answered, and remain fixed. Otherwise, just like in a shooting gallery, you know, when you go to Juhu Chowpatty, here they don't... In India, I've never seen a shooting gallery like they have in the West. But they have, in the circuses, maybe here, I haven't been to an Indian circus, but they have a shooting gallery. And in the gallery, at the back of the gallery, there are little ducks and birds, other birds, little cutouts. And they move across, you know, there's all the ducks, they just start moving. There's many rows, one row, two row, three rows of ducks and other birds. So they start moving. And a person has to take a rifle, a rifle with a clay, some little ammunition, BB shot or something. So he has to take the rifle and shoot. So those ducks are called sitting ducks. And there's an English expression that when you're very vulnerable to something, you're just like a sitting duck, because someone can come and just shoot you down. As the ducks move across, the idea is to shoot them down, and you get scores for that. So in this material world, we're just like sitting ducks, especially here in just practicing this bhakti yoga, sadhana bhakti. We're trying to practice celibacy, and then we're going to Rekha's house to try and make her a life member. You know, it's almost contradictory. We should be out in the middle of the country on top of some mountain inside a cave. You know, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. The monkey, the famous monkey. It seems like a contradiction. How can we practice austerities in the middle of the kingdom of enjoyment? But that's what we have to do. We have to become like Lord Shiva. When the demigods sent, not Menka, who was it? To Lord Shiva? To worship his genital? Urvashi. They sent Urvashi to distract Lord Shiva, because they were in a war with the demons and they needed help from Lord Shiva, but he wasn't helping, he was just sitting in meditation. So they thought, you know, we have to break his meditation. So they sent a beautiful heavenly prostitute to break his concentration. And she tried so many ways, but he was fixed. So then she got right down and began to touch his genital. So, Prabhupada said, that real sannyas in this Kali Yuga is practically impossible, because real sannyas means that you are so fixed that even if a woman touches or worships your genital, you're not disturbed. So that is the standard of brahmachari, to be so fixed. So we have to try to become fixed like that by hearing the discussions about Lord Shiva, hearing how he acts. Just see, Lord Shiva is not so proud that he thinks that I'm a great devotee, why shall I go and see the Prachetas? Actually, Lord Shiva is greater than the Prachetas. He is the topmost Vaishnava. But he's so happy to hear that someone else in the universe has become a Vaishnava. He's so happy to hear that, that out of joy he goes to visit them and to give them blessings and guidance. Not that he goes there to get a flower garland put on his head or get some worshiper. He's not interested in that. He's simply happy to know that someone else is a Vaishnava. So when we develop that freedom from envy, Krishna says, Tatute guyatamam prabhakshami anasuyave. Because you are anasuyave, free from envy, Arjuna. Therefore I'm willing to instruct you, to bless you. So when we become free from envy of others, then we'll start to make real progress in spiritual life. Then we'll feel happy, satisfied. We learn that someone else has become a Vaishnava. We won't be like Indra. Oh, someone's practicing austerity. He must be after my position. I better push him down. That's our mentality now. But when we get free of that envious mentality and think, oh, someone is trying to become a Vaishnava? How nice. Let me help him. Let me guide him. Let me teach him. Then we'll make progress. So are there any questions?